Now to the Sounds of Australia from yesteryear. The Memory Tapes is a new podcast from the National Library of Australia that showcases their oral history collection. It features some incredible gems, like, for example, the only recording of the voice of May Gibbs, creator of the classic Australian children's book Snugglepot and Cuddlepie.
Children loved me to tell them stories. If we walked out in the bush, I noticed all the little flowers. I used to say, this is such a thing, and that is something else, and give them names. And that's how I started telling the stories. That really is the way I started my gumnut work.
And there's this, also the only known recording of the voice of Howard Florey, joint winner of the Nobel Prize in 1945 for his work on penicillin.
I don't think it would ever cross our minds about suffering humanity. This was an interesting scientific exercise, and it's always in the background of people working in medical subjects that it might be of use in medicine, but that's not the mainspring of why they do their researches. They're very gratified if it's of use, but it's not essential. And the same thing would apply to penicillin. Perhaps you'd like to know something about the Nobel Prize, which everybody thinks very highly of.
And it's not just famous names either. Across the 10 episodes of The Memory Tapes, the podcast presents all sorts of sounds from Australian history and from all sorts of people. And the story of how the oral history collection itself came to be is also extraordinary. Indeed, episode one of The Memory Tapes, The Silent Revolutionary, is devoted to pioneering oral historian Hazel De Burgh. Dr. Sherlene Robinson is the former Director of Collection Research at the National Library of Australia and the host of the Memory Tapes podcast, and I'm very pleased to say that Sherlene joins us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you so much, Julian. It's just such a great delight to be with you and to be talking about this amazing collection and what a gift it is to the whole country.
Yes, it really is a national treasure, and the recording that in a way started it all is the recording of the lady on the $10 note, poet, journalist and social justice campaigner Dame Mary Gilmore, that was made by Hazel De Burgh. Here's Hazel talking about how that happened.
So I went up to her flat at King's Cross and I said, now, I think it'd be rather nice if you were to say something in the front of this for the blind people. And she said, well, supposing you announce me. And I said, oh, no, you announce yourself. So she said, well, this is Mary Gilmore. I wrote Old Days, Old Ways.
And it's thanks to that request that we have this glorious recording of the great Dame Mary Gilmore.
This is Dame Mary Gilmore speaking, and I've been asked to read a piece of my verse. It's called Old Botany Bay, and I wrote it because when I was a child, there were so many ticket of leave men about, and I can remember if they took their shirts off in the hot weather, how their backs were ridged and ridged from the cat. The cat was the name of the whip used to flog them. Well, these men who were so flogged, they were the ones who made the way easy for us in later times. And I think that we should still feel, remember them and be grateful.
It really is such evocative audio. Sherlene, who was Hazel De Burgh and how did she become the founding mother of the Australian Oral History Collection?
Oh, look, Hazel De Burgh was an incredible woman and an absolute visionary because I think she saw the future well before anyone else, and her story is really interesting. So Hazel De Burgh was somebody who trained as a radiographer. She married, she converted to Judaism, she had a number of children, all of whom are delightful, one of whom went on to become a successful oral historian in her own right. But in the 1950s, Hazel De Burgh had moved to a stage of her life where she thought that she wanted to do something to give back to society because that's the sort of person she was. And so she talked to a friend of hers, Ken Bruce, who suggested that perhaps she might like to do books for people who were visually impaired. But the thing about Hazel De Burgh that I love is that she happened to be thinking, well, instead of me reading some of the great poets, perhaps Dame Mary Gilmore. And Hazel De Burgh calls her up and goes and visits her in her flat in King's Cross. And that's when the magic happens. That's when she does that very first recording. And it is almost like something clicks for Hazel De Burgh. When we listen to that recording that Hazel De Burgh did in 1957, it's not long. It's a very short recording. But what is really extraordinary is that it connects us directly to the memory of the convict Lash, that we are hearing from somebody who saw that. the ridges on the backs of the men. And that's something that you wouldn't think that would exist. There would be a voice that could talk about that. But then Dame Mary, being born in 1865, very much saw the cruelty of the convict system. She saw a totally different Sydney. In the podcast, there's some wonderful extracts of what King's Cross was like. And she really is able to capture very evocatively, as poets are able to do, what that world was like.
And it's also amazing that Hazel was doing this so early, relatively, in the history of audio. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Shirlene?
Absolutely. That, again, is really quite remarkable. What Hazel de Burgh did was she comes along at a time just after the Second World War, when you have new technology in the form of magnetic reel-to-reel recorders, and a university at Columbia, which is the first in the world to develop an oral history program. But they are different to Hazel because they focus on the great men of history, and they are really all about getting the transcripts. But Hazel de Burgh approaches things very differently. She sees that it's actually not about the transcripts, it's about the voice. And so whilst Columbia re-recorded over a lot of their tapes because magnetic tape was so expensive, she would not let them do that here. And so all the originals are held at the National Library. It's all been digitized now. And there's this beautiful quote from her where she says in her papers, "I wish everybody could share the moment that I hear people speaking," essentially, that was what was really special to her, the sound of the human voice.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Dr. Shirlene Robinson, who is the host of the Memory Tapes podcast produced by the National Library of Australia. And it's clear that once Hazel did that first recording with Dame Mary Gilmore, she certainly got the bug, as she explained.
"I want to record the poets saying their own verse and reading their own verse so that in a few hundred years, if we put it in the archives, people will know just what we thought and what we wrote in our day." Well, from that I went on and I collected Dorothy McKellar reading My Country. And it went on and on until finally I had collected about 60 poets.
And 60 poets was just the start of it as well. Shirlene, could you tell us how Hazel's approach to oral history and the subjects that she chose evolved over time?
Yeah, absolutely. If you think about it, in that post-war period, late 1950s, really through to sort of the 80s when she was working, that's a period of remarkable change and a period when Australia is really thinking about who we are as a country. And I think she understood that. So when she starts out, she starts on the arts. And I do like that she sort of saw Australian creativity was somewhere to start. But she moves on, and then there's nothing that she won't attempt to do. As you mentioned earlier, she sat down and recorded Sir Florey talking about the penicillin trials. And, you know, it's been said that he saved more lives, millions of lives, than any other Australian that has ever lived in terms of the first antibiotic that worked.
Yeah, although he doesn't seem that fussed about it.
He was not an easy man to interview. And again, because the tapes were expensive, if he was on radio ever, they would just re-record over it. But because that wouldn't happen with the Hazel de Burgh recordings, we now have the only record of his voice. When you played that extract before, wasn't it interesting to hear how he spoke and that he talks about science being motivated maybe not by altruism, but other factors?
One of the other pieces of audio from the podcast which really grabbed me was this one.
"He'd pump the water out of his and I'd pump the water out of mine, just shoving a lavatory brush into it. And then we'd have a clear pipe and we'd talk to each other through the toilets."
Talking to each other through the toilets. Shirlene, what's going on there?
Look, I don't want to spoil everything for the podcast, but I will say that this is really, I think, a marker of Hazel de Burgh's willingness to go to places that were not necessarily always the most comfortable of places. What is happening there is she's talking to a poet who is jailed, not for murder, but I think manslaughter. And whilst he's in jail, he forms his collaboration with an artist in the cell next to him. But the only way for them to really communicate is to, and this really amazingly creative, they drain the water in the pipes and therefore they're able to exchange ideas and a play comes out of this. And I just think that there's something to love about the fact that she wasn't frightened to see that new art forms could happen in a jail cell. There's all kinds of themes that you would think, well, Hazel de Burgh, she dressed beautifully, she presents beautifully, but, you know, it was all about getting stories that represented the full diversity of Australian society at that time.
And as you write in the introduction to the book which accompanies the memory tapes, there's a strong presence of Indigenous Australians and also women throughout the collection, and no doubt that has a lot to do with the editorial instincts of Hazel de Burgh.
I think it's so important to acknowledge the editorial instincts of Hazel de Burgh, because I think for a long time when people have looked at her work, they've looked at her collection and, you know, just the scale of it, because it's an amazing scale. Imagine being somebody who spends 27 years of your life going to every Australian state and territory and even overseas to record Australians. This is a lifetime commitment, almost unparalleled, in fact, unparalleled. And I think for a long time, people are sort of almost treating her like she's somebody that's just pressing record without realizing that she was actually curating this collection, that she was thinking very deliberately about who she was going to interview and really doing the research beforehand to make sure that the interview was one that would stand the test of time. And I think that's why we do still find such use and value in the material that she collected.
It's an immense personal contribution that Hazel de Burgh made, and it's what made it possible for the National Library's oral history collection to become so broad and large. Could you give us a sense of exactly the scale and quality of that collection, Charlene?
Oh, absolutely. She was recording people for 27 years. So that is the true love affair with the art of oral history, of the voice and of stories. By the time that she passed away, you see these lines in newspapers where people say what she has built is the foundation of one of the finest oral history collections in the world. We look at the foundation collections at the National Library, and the oral history collection is the only foundation collection that was built by a woman. And oral history internationally has tended to be very much driven by men. So now in the 1980s and 1990s, oral historians came to this realization, actually, it's about the voice, not the transcript at all. But Hazel de Burgh knew that from the 1950s.
And it's just amazing to think that there's now over 58,000 recorded hours of interviews. It must have been a massive job to work out what would go into what I hope is just the first series of the memory tapes.
Yes, so we put your finger on it there, because it is, it's just, you know, if you gave me any particular topic, you could talk to me about Broken Hill miners and, you know, what was it like to live in Broken Hill in the late 1800s and how do people bath? I could find you an extract from the oral history collection where somebody spoke about that. I could find you an extract where somebody speaks about the Harbour Bridge being built and then being moved out of the rocks. It really is a collection that represents the entire country, and that's not easy to do. And as you say, 58,000 hours, that really I think everybody can find a piece of themselves in. And out of all the interviews that Hazel de Burgh did, the one that I really think is very special, and I've got a great gratitude to the family of Oodgeroo Noonuccal for allowing it to be used, that is such an incredible interview. You know, the first Aboriginal Australian to publish a work of poetry. And I think that that is a very moving interview, but it also shows something that happens later in those 58,000 hours, which is that oral history becomes a vehicle that can capture people who have not had ways to tell their stories because they have not had the opportunity to keep papers and archives and records, are able to talk and to make sure that their voices are heard. You know, the Bringing Them Home oral history collection, I would say that is probably one of the most important oral history collections that's ever been conducted in this country, that really, through having more than 300 oral history interviews with survivors of the stolen generations, it really did provide that documentation and opportunity for people whose lives had been controlled in government records to come forward and to speak and to show what had happened to them in their terms. And that's really important. And the library's always been very brave. It has done projects on HIV and AIDS. It was the first cultural institution in the world to do an oral history project on that at a time when deaths were at their peak in Australia in the early 1990s. So what Hazel de Burgh began showed that there is something very unique and powerful about oral history. It does something that no other type of collecting can do. And it can give voice to people who may be extremely powerful or who may never have had the power. And we should just all feel so proud that that belongs to all of us.
Well, the memory tapes is certainly a great introduction to the very rich oral history collection of the National Library. Charlene, how accessible is the collection itself to ordinary people today?
It's wonderfully accessible because people may not know this, but then you go and you sort of log on to Trove, and, you know, Trove is, again, a bit of a national icon. And I think, again, sometimes we don't think how lucky we are that this is an Australian invention that the National Library gave the world Trove, that if you go to other countries that there is no Trove. So you can go into Trove and you can search and you can limit it to National Library oral histories. So it allows you to listen to oral histories wherever you are in the world completely. And also you can sometimes either have a summary running alongside it or a transcript that sort of shows you what's happening as well. It is just a wonderful, rich resource. And I just love hearing those so-called ordinary stories. You know, the other day I heard a story about a woman swimming in Bondi in the 1920s when a shark swam near her. And it was just both funny and terrifying. And I thought, isn't that lovely that that's been captured?
Absolutely. Dr. Shirlene Robinson, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Oh, thank you so much, Julian. It's been an absolute pleasure.
The podcast is The Memory Tapes. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts or via the National Library website. And we were speaking there with Dr. Shirlene Robinson, oral historian, former director of collection research at the National Library, and the host of The Memory Tapes.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.